We have the different perspectives. We have the different opinions. You know, nobody's stopping you here from, you know, saying what's happening. Nobody's stopping there. All of the private media has been literally closed down. Like it's illegal for any news outlets to run anything that isn't specifically from their government. Like there, it's only now, it's only their government media propaganda, basically. That's all it is. No one else is allowed to make any news.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. What's up? Thank you for stopping by. You're in for a treat. Remember to check out my newest project, flyteddy.com. Flyteddy.com. Now, time for this week's episode.
Well, I am excited to be podcasting. Took a little break, and I have one of my good friends on with me, Olga. An amazing muralist, and I just want to welcome you back on the show, Olga.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be back. It's been 2 whole years.
So we were talking offline, and almost to the date, this was the last time you were on the show.
Yep, December 1st, June 2020, exactly 2 years ago.
It's funny how things work out, and how much our worlds are different since then.
Oh my gosh, I know. A lot. I feel like it's been 10 years since I talked to you, not two.
Isn't that crazy? I feel like 2020 was just like 3 years in one.
I know.
Like you had before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and then after the pandemic, like three different years.
I know. Yeah. An entire lifetime.
So what has been new with you? Kind of give us like what you've been up to, some of the cool projects that you got to work on. You kind of touch on that.
Yeah, I mean, everything honestly has changed. I think 2 years ago, I wasn't doing any murals. I had started last summer, so it's only been about a little over a year that I've even started doing murals. So that's definitely a huge part now of my business and a part that I'm really happy that I got into and part that I actually really, really love. And yeah, I mean, a lot has changed. So with murals, I've gotten a lot into public art. So I've been connecting more with local townships and, you know, just my neighborhoods, the neighborhoods around me. And it's just been really nice. You know, I've met a lot of cool new people. I've made so many new connections. And just recently, I was able to paint this really giant, like 45-foot mural in one of my neighboring townships, one of my favorite townships. I go there all the time. And it was just like a dream to hear from them and want, you know, that they wanted me to paint this big mural on their giant brick wall in the middle of downtown. So yeah, it's been like a whirlwind, honestly. It's been busy. I've had a very, very busy half a year. Like the first half a year was fine, but then since the summer started, I've just been nonstop. So I'm kind of glad to have a little bit of a break right now.
Okay. So what caused the shift into murals?
Well, I have always wanted to do murals because my background is in painting. I started out, I've been doing art since I was like, I don't know, 6 years old. My godfather was a fine artist. He was a painter. And he had a studio where he taught kids how to draw and paint. And so I've been in that world since I was a baby, basically. And painting is something that I've always really loved. I was an oil painter. And then, you know, things change in life. So I didn't see how I could make money painting. So I went into graphic design, and then I learned about typography. And then after that, I kind of found out about lettering. And so I started doing lettering. So that kind of combined drawing and typography in one, which I love both of those things. And then I saw people doing murals. And again, it wasn't something that was like in, you know, it wasn't like, I wasn't aware of that opportunity. Like I wasn't just like I wasn't aware of lettering. I wasn't really aware of murals. Like I've seen them before, but it wasn't on my radar as like a career opportunity. So, you know, I saw the Panda Girls doing a lot of murals and they really inspired me. And then, you know, Lisa Queen was doing a lot of murals. And then I realized, oh, this is something I would really enjoy. And plus it would get me back into painting and painting large scale. So it was kind of like a giant, you know, like circle. Like it just kind of closed off the circle, you know, like I'm back to painting and I'm still doing lettering and typography and just everything together. And the way I really started murals was it was very random and it was kind of like being in the right place at the right time kind of story. But I met somebody locally that was like, she planned events for the town. And she met my husband, who's a musician. And then through him, I met her. And then she introduced me to a councilman in the neighboring township that really wanted to paint a mural. So he randomly wanted to paint a mural. I wanted to paint a mural. I mean, he wanted a mural painted. He didn't want physically himself to paint a mural, but he wanted somebody and he didn't know how to find a muralist. And I wanted a wall to paint. And it just kind of happened to, you know, we happened to meet and it happened within, I think, a month since from when I met him. So that was my first mural. It was the one that says love is all you need. And after that, it just kind of, you know, domino effect just kind of went from there.
But one thing I do notice that you were doing was like doing physical, I'm guessing you were kind of giving yourself your own personal projects in terms of like paint and stuff and putting that out there. I feel like that kind of helped kind of speak to like doing stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe. I definitely did a lot of personal projects and a lot of physical, you know, analog projects, like painting, drawing. And before I painted my first mural, I moved our piano off the wall and I painted a little mural in my house that I ended up like painting over within 2 months, I think. But I just kind of wanted to not only just get experience and understand what it's like to paint a wall because I've never painted one before, but I wanted to have at least something to show that wasn't a mock-up because I was doing a lot of mock-ups and like those are helpful because at least like I can show like, oh, this is a design I made and this, you know, here's what it would look like on a wall. Even though I didn't actually paint it on the wall, it's helpful for people to actually see it and envision it. And that's how I ended up getting that first mural because, you know, I was showing this councilman my mural mock-ups and the one mural that I had done at home. And like, because you could see it on the wall, you know, for a non-artist, it's easier to imagine, you know, it's like, oh, you can do this. So great, you know, and it convinces people, you know, that to hire you basically.
That makes
sense.
So
I definitely did a lot of that. Yeah.
So is that kind of like your direction now, like your pivot?
It's definitely a huge part of my business. I wanted it to be one of my main specialties and it definitely in the past half a year, it has become that. I definitely do a lot of digital work still because it's not as hard on my body. But, you know, I do. I just did a lot of work for Crayola, which was really fun. And that was just digital pieces that I'd done for their licensing books. And I did a project for Coca-Cola that was also kind of just a digital like illustration work. And I love that because then for digital projects, I get to work with bigger clients and I get to, you know, enjoyed that part of the business too. So I kind of like both of them, but I definitely, you know, in the warmer months, I like to make murals kind of my main thing.
So no winter murals for you up north.
Not outside. No, I actually just painted one on Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, I saw that.
I know. I got lucky because the weather wasn't terrible. It was like 50s. But definitely that was my last one because I was like at the end of it, my toes were like frozen. So I had to go inside and drink some tea.
So was the, I know you said you did some licensing for Crayola.
Yeah, was it wasn't licensing. No, I wasn't like, it was for their licensing brand book. So basically it was like artwork that they could use for their merchandise and, you know, they could kind of make patterns out of them or they could just use the piece as is on clothing and, you know, all that. So it was basically an agency that was making a licensing book for Crayola that, hired me to make all these pieces.
So it's funny you say that. Like, I was gonna ask, like, outside of the situation with the first mural that you had to do, like, what are some of the ways that you are getting projects? Are these like recurring clients that from before? Like, what are some of the things that you are doing to kind of get some other digital works?
Honestly, I haven't been doing that much. Not yet. I always wanted to do outreach and just kind of, I either didn't have time for it or I just didn't know where to start. And I never really did it. Funny enough, the Crayola project, the way I got it was because the art director from the agency that hired me was randomly driving through the neighborhood where I painted my murals, my first murals. And she saw one of them and, or maybe she saw both of them because it's the same, like, direction. And she reached out to me because she saw my name on him.
Wow.
Like, so random. And you'd never think that, you know, you could get non-mural work from doing a mural, but it happened. So that was one of those moments where I'm like, oh, you know, everything matters.
I love that, though. Like, that's a line right there. Everything matters. Yeah. Everything matters. So what are some of the things that's kind of inspiring you right now? Like, just in general, what are some of the things that's inspiring you?
I don't know. Honestly, I've been in like, ever since I got into this break and I just stopped working, I've been in this mental mode where I just don't want to think about work. I'm not doing anything. I'm literally like, I've been sitting at home and like drinking some tea and like playing with my daughter. And I'm just like, I need a break, you know, like I need a mental break. So I'm not doing anything. I'm literally not creating right now. For the past like week.
That's awesome. Because us creatives, we don't know how to turn this thing off.
I know, but I feel like it's necessary. Because I just like I was fine working nonstop and I was constantly like I didn't get burnout. I was fine, like I was creating. But then as soon as I stopped, all of a sudden I feel like I can't create anymore. You know what I mean? It's weird. It's like I know that once I get more projects, I'll be totally fine again. But just like right now, and that, you know, I don't have any projects going on for this week, and I have more coming up, I think, like in the next week or two. But for now, I have this break, and I know I have this break, so I'm gonna take it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to mess it up.
But it's funny you say that. Like in all the people that I've talked to in the recent and just behind the scenes, just kind of getting advice from different people that are, you know, successful and things they do, like they. One thing they've all said is how important just resting is.
Yeah.
And just stopping and stepping away.
Yeah. I always
felt it's crazy. We like, we don't really do that much.
No. And I always, and things, I always felt bad about taking a break. Like if I, you know, wanted to just have an hour or two of just doing nothing, I felt terrible about it. I just felt like I should be doing something. Why am I wasting my time? You know? I should be doing this project, this personal project, or, you know, whatever. And now that I've actually like been so busy in the past half a year, like I understand that no, this is good. Like a break is good. Like it's going to turn around and it's going to be busy again. But right now, like it's like time to just enjoy, you know, nothing. It's just time to enjoy.
Listen, that's a big deal, especially for a family woman. Yeah. I've got a wife. She don't even know how to take a break. Like, she feels like there's something that needs to be done. Like, if I say I'm gonna do it, like, she don't know what to do with herself. Like, so what do I do?
I'm like that too. Trust me. I'm really like, especially like when it comes to house stuff, like I feel like I always need to be doing something. I've never liked this. This is like one of the only times in my life that I'm like this.
But it's good.
Yeah.
It's a good thing because I just feel like the more we can take time away, I feel like once you get back to work, you'll be so rejuvenated.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm guessing most of your next mural projects will be for 2023.
Yes. So I had a few move over to the next year because it got too cold and it got too late. And all these township like public art murals, they take an incredibly long time to move forward. There's like 100 meetings that have to happen before, you know, paint can be put to the wall. So all these meetings take like a whole year. And so I'm waiting for three next year. No, more, because there's one for like a restaurant. But I'm hoping to do some indoor murals. We'll see.
So are you a part of those meetings?
No. Mm. It's all like town councils, art councils. I don't even know, like meetings with the owners, with the buildings. And it's just a whole thing. Okay. Like 100 people have to agree on one thing, which you can imagine how difficult that might be. So it takes a very long time.
Okay. So what are some of the other things that you're kind of doing to get ready for, I can't believe I'm about to say this, for 2023?
See, for me, like I've never seen like a new year as a start of something new. It kind of keeps going. Like I don't have New Year's resolutions. I don't wait until the 1st of January to start doing something. I just do it now. You know, like, I don't know. I just never like saw that as like a wall to pass through, you know, like a door to pass through. I don't know. I don't like plan for the next year. I just, whatever I'm planning, it's now, it's, you know, it's always. I don't know how to explain it.
No, listen, you are speaking to someone that lives that life.
Okay, good.
Like, I completely despise New Year's resolutions. Oh my gosh, I'm literally like, okay, I feel to do this. Let's start it right now.
Exactly. Like, why wait? You know what I mean? Like, what's stopping you now?
But it's funny how, like, I just, and I feel like that's probably like a lot more natural to you to kind of think like that. But it's funny how most people don't. Like, yeah. It's like everyone is kind of looking for this start point. Like, when I hit this age, when my birthday comes around, when the New Year's comes around, when this, you know, I'll wait until after tax season. All these different like starting points.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. It's cool to hear that you think that way also, but it's just always so funny that like most of us don't think like, I literally can start it right now.
I know. Yeah. Especially like people who say like, oh, you know, yeah, any New Year's resolutions really. It's just like, you know, why wait for a month? Like, what are you going to do for this whole month before you start that thing that you want to do? And just do it now.
It's funny. Me and my wife, we're part of this, we call it a small group, but it's basically like a group. They talk about like marriage growth and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the guy gave us a challenge. He basically counted down how many days were left until the year. And he was like, pick one thing that you can start hopefully today or tomorrow that you can work on until the end of the year instead of waiting until January 1st. So whatever that thing is, you know what I mean? And it was just so interesting how this one guy in the group was like, can we wait until January?
Why?
Because he couldn't fathom in his mind that he could do something to either better himself or to improve or to help him within, at that point, it was like 40-something days. I forgot how many days. But it was like, he couldn't fathom. He felt like, nah, it gotta be January 1st.
I gotta wait.
Like, I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, you know?
I think it also is because maybe I'm like, I'm kind of impatient. So if, you know, I can't wait for things to happen. If I have something in my head, like it'll bother me until I actually do it. So it's partly maybe that too, because I, you know, I can't wait to do something that far off, you know, I have to, like, if I'm planning on it, I want to do it as soon as possible.
So is that something that kind of comes natural, or were you just always like this? Like,
yeah, it's just always like type A, like do it now, you know, do it now. Like, don't wait, don't procrastinate. Like my homework, you know, like all my friends would be like waiting until the night before to do their essays, you know, I'd be like, oh, I did that a week ago. I just can't wait. So I don't know.
It's, I mean, like, that's awesome. I mean, it's definitely helping you in business right now. So I can't hate on you for that. So we have the murals. We have some freelance digital projects. What are some of the other ways that you're generating revenue right now?
It's mostly client work right now. I do, yeah, digital work. I do chalk boards occasionally, murals. I did do some licensing, but I haven't done that in a little while. I should get back into that now that I have some free time. And I have a shop, but I don't really promote it, or I don't really even like doing it. So I just kind of have it on the side, but it's not making that much money. Yeah, it's just client work for now. I've always wanted to like branch out and do other things. And I don't know. I guess knew how to get started, and I never had time for it. And maybe now is a good time since I have some time.
See,
relaxing over here. There you go.
You're filling it up. You can't even take a break. You're filling it up already.
I just started my break.
No, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Please take a break. Take a break. So, all right. I know you've been doing this thing where you can, and you're up to tip number 28. Just want to let you know. I've been paying attention.
It's 29. Yeah, 28 is up. I think 29 is coming tomorrow.
All right, say someone wants to do muraling. They want to, what's the top three things they should be paying attention to starting out?
Start out. I don't think I did a tip about how to start out with murals. So if I did do one, it would be what I said before, you know, doing mock-ups, trying to find a wall. You know what? Trying to find a wall to paint in your house, or, you know, in your friend's house. And I'm just remembering, because I was like, I've talked about this before and I don't remember where, but I just did the Typism conference, and I did a public art. What was it called? How to Get Started with Public Art, or something like that. It was a 15 minute talk or something. So that's a good, I don't know if people are able to access that now, maybe, but that was just basically like how to get started, how to get into public art, how to start doing murals, like everything about that. So that was a really helpful talk, I think, in terms of that question.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing I will say, though, it is, especially if you're doing something like a mural with the city or the town.
Yeah.
Just to kind of echo it takes forever to even get a response. Roxy does that where they kind of put their information on the mural. Is that the kind of what you do in regards to that's how people found you?
Yeah. It's not easy. It's and a lot of my public art murals haven't been done like traditionally, where you find a call for art and you apply to it, and then, you know, you wait for an answer. I don't really, it hasn't been like that for me, because the first two I did because of personal connections, you know, then after that, it was because people had seen my murals and they actually asked me specifically, you know, to do to work with them. So it's been kind of different. I did do one just now that I'm going to do next year. I'm going to paint next year, I think, where it was more traditional way of applying for it. But now that I think about it, they did reach out to me first, but I did apply to it. So they're going to have me painted next year. But yeah, it just takes a really long time.
So you kind of do the same thing. Like, I know Phoebe and,
Signing my name every time, because, you never know who's going to see it. You never know, you know, that's why it's like my talk at Typism was about this too. Like, you know, make sure to sign your work, and make sure to always, always, always do your very best. Like, doesn't even matter if you're not getting paid enough for it, or, you know, just make sure that what you put on that wall is your best work, because you never know who's going to see it. Like in my case, you know, I didn't know that, you know, somebody from an agency that works with Crayola was going to see my mural and want me to do work for them. You know, that's huge. So you never know.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. So I want to talk to you about Ukraine. And, you know, we had this like terrible thing happen. And I know you can kind of speak to this because you were born in Ukraine.
Yes.
And you have family still living there. And yes. I kind of want to hear your perspective in regards to what happened, what, as far as you know, currently what's happening and how that affected you in regards to all of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely has been a very tough and terrible situation. You know, when it started happening, it was kind of shocking. Nobody really expected it. Like, people didn't actually think it was going to happen. And when it did, it was just, it's devastating. Honestly, it's devastating. It's hard to maybe understand living in America, what the mentality over there is, or what the mentality of, you know, the Russian government is. And it's, you know, what's happening is literally somebody wants to wipe out a country and a culture and people of that culture, you know, and it's been happening for many years, even way before this even started happening. It's, you know, they don't want the Ukrainian language to exist. They don't want the Ukrainian culture to exist, our traditions. They don't believe that it should be, Ukraine should be a country. They believe that they should just kind of, you know, it just should be part of Russia. And they're trying to kind of make it seem like Ukrainians want this to happen to their own people. Like, this is their media is basically all about, you know, a twisted world where Ukrainians, you know, are welcoming Russians into the country, which is not true, you know, where Ukraine can't exist without Russia, which is not true. And it's just, it's such a twisted reality over there. And I don't know, I know I don't have family in Russia, and I don't know what it's like living there and what, like, I know the news that they're being fed because I see the news, but it's like, it's insane to me to believe that somebody could see that, you know, they're getting news that's completely different from the rest of the world. And yet a lot of people there don't, they believe it. They believe their own news. You know what I mean? They believe what their government is telling them. And it's scary because majority of their country supports this. And it's, I don't know. It's scary. Honestly, it's scary. It's worrying. It's, you know, obviously I hope that, you know, Ukraine beats them off because it's insane what's happening. I, you know, it's my country. I was born there. You know, it's my language. It's my culture. I have family there. It can't even, it's just, it's like a nightmare, you know? I can't even explain it. It's a nightmare.
And the reason why, you know, I kind of wanted to ask you about this, because, like, I was like, I know somebody that actually was born in Ukraine that has family in Ukraine. I kind of wanted to get your perspective, because, again, not that America is feeding any kind of bad news or whatever the case may be, but, like, I know you have a perspective that I won't hear from the news. You know what I mean? I know you actually are dealing with this. You've heard the fear in your family's voice that's actually still in Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I wanted to hear. I wanted to actually, you know, as best as I possibly can, hear from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, and to hear you say what actually is happening and how, this is why at times I'm afraid of just media in general, because I'm pretty sure there are people in Russia that actually believes that what's happening is the right thing.
Of course. And I think the majority of them believe it, which is the scary part.
And that has a lot to do with what their media is telling them.
Yes.
And
but you have to understand, because their media isn't like our media. Our media is free media. We have the different perspectives. We have the different opinions. You know, nobody's stopping you here from, you know, saying what's happening. Nobody's stopping. There, all of the private media has been literally closed down. Like they, it's illegal for any news outlets to run anything that isn't specifically from their government. Like there, it's only now, it's only their government media propaganda, basically. That's all it is. No one else is allowed to make any news. So it's not news.
You know,
it's just like, what the government's telling them. That's it. That's all they're getting.
That's just insane to me. Like, I get it as a person that wasn't born in America. Like, I get it how a government can control certain things. Because it's, for the most part, like, there is more countries that the government controls most of the media.
Yeah.
Than we even know.
Of course.
Like, yes. America is, like, such the minority.
Yeah.
And even with us, sometimes we run into that situation.
But yes.
It's because there's so much more freedom, it's not completely controlled. But it's just crazy to me that, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, I understand and people believe that, you know, even here, the government controls media. But it's, yes, they control some media, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same. It's not the same level of control. And you can have, you know, private media, like you'd have other news coming at you. You don't just have one opinion coming at you all the time. And, you know, you're able to see all the different, you know, you can have your own opinion, whatever, but you can see all the different news outlets. You can see Russian news if you want to too. It's there,
you know,
but there they can't see. They can only see their own.
So I guess for the most part, I mean, just for the most part, your family is safe for now.
They are. So, yeah, a lot of my family had to, not a lot of my family, but some of them with the kids especially, they did leave the country for a bit. They did come back. And right now, it's actually really a hard situation because, so a couple of days ago, I guess around Thanksgiving, they bombed something that's basically just wiped out like all electricity, water, gas, everything from the whole country. And so it's been literally, I have family like on the opposite side of the country and all of them were just like sitting with no light, no water, no ability to make food or, you know, to heat their house, like nothing. And it's cold there, much, much colder there than it is here. So it's definitely been very tough. And I know it's been kind of leading to this where like, that was the plan all along where it gets cold, you know, to freeze people. But I'm just like, now it's, they're getting it back. So I'm glad about that. But it's just been like, it's been tough. It's just been like days and days of nothing. And it's just scary, you know, people with kids, people with babies. Like, I can't imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate you like sharing all of this. It's like, I didn't even know that. That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I literally have my uncles like buying a gas, like one of those camping, you know, like, what are they called? The thing that you get for camping, the gas.
Like a heater?
Like a heater. Yeah. But it's you run on gas, you can cook on it, but it's
runs
on gas. So you can like go to the gas station.
I can't remember what it's called, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah. So you can go to the gas station, get some gas and like actually be able to cook your food, you know, it's just like, it's crazy.
So, in regards to that, like, I'm guessing the only solution is like Ukraine keeps fighting back until Russia stops.
Well, yes and no. And I think, and a lot of people think that the only solution is if it has to be kind of destroyed from the inside, the government, the Russian government. Like, it almost can't end until, I don't know, until they run out of money or somebody from the inside kind of, you know, there's a coup or something, you know, that's the only, I think, the only possible real solution. But I just don't know. It's hard to see realistically what the end of this is. And that's what makes it so kind of scary because it's been going on for almost a year. You know, it's been a really long time and it's just nonstop. I don't know what the end is. I truly hope that people wake up in Russia and something happens that they overthrow their government. I don't know. I really don't know. It's just, it's been crazy. And it's like hard being, you know, being here Mm-hmm. And seeing all this happen and being kind of feeling kind of helpless because, you know, what can you do? You know, you do everything that you can, but it's just like, it never feels like enough because at first it was like, okay, just money, 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 you know, throw money at them. And like, hopefully that like, you know, that will help. And it's just like, but it keeps going and it's obviously helping. Like I did my fundraisers. I'm still doing the fundraiser. It's still up. I sell my t-shirts and I did lawn signs here and all of the neighbors here, like in all the neighborhoods, like people were really excited about helping out. And, you know, my mom is working with like a local church and they keep sending supplies and things for kids. And, you know, just a constant, it's just constant like help. Mm-hmm. It's just like you do whatever you can.
I know this guy that I work with, this guy, he runs an organization and he has a bunch of friends. He's really a missionary. So he has a bunch of friends in Ukraine and he was just kind of telling me like, you know, like just hearing his friends on the phone kind of tell him like what they're going through. And we kind of did some stuff through our church just to try to help. But like him getting a phone call from his friends in Ukraine, it was just like so real to him, kind of hit him in the face. It just kind of jogged my memory when you mentioned that. Since you brought up the fundraiser that you were doing and still going on, talk a little bit about that, what you did. And for those who don't have no idea, talk
a little bit about that. So in the beginning, when this whole thing started happening, there were a lot of rallies all around the, you know, New York, New Jersey. So I had a group of moms, Ukrainian moms, actually here in locally. We randomly connected, I think, a week before this whole thing started. It was just very random. And when the war started, we organized the rally together. And they knew that I was an artist. So they were just like, oh, just, you know, maybe you can make something as like a poster to show, you know, at the rally. And they asked a few people. And I had made one before and I was like, you know what, let me just make a quick one just to have something nicer than what I already had. So I literally made it in like one night. It was just my first thought. It wasn't even, I didn't do any sketches for it. It was just like, this is what I'm doing. And they printed it as a poster and then the girls liked it so much. They were like, oh, you should put on a shirt. I want a shirt with it. And that started a whole thing because I didn't know how to print the shirts and I had no idea how to do any of that. And then I realized that I had run a previous campaign with the website Bonfire. Mm-hmm. And because they do like you can select a charity and you literally all the profits go straight to that charity from that website. And somebody had suggested it, I don't remember who, but I made it in one night and then it took off like wildfire. I didn't even expect it. It sold, I think by now, almost 2,500 shirts.
That's awesome.
And we made over $23,000 from that. And then one of my friends locally here, actually the one that I had met a long time ago that introduced me to the councilman to do the mural, she suggested I do lawn signs because I didn't know this because I'm from Ukraine and Brooklyn, so we don't do lawn signs. But she's like, everybody loves lawn signs. People want to put lawn signs on their lawns to show that they support Ukraine. And I was like, lawn signs? Who cares about lawn signs? But then I was like, okay, fine, let's do it. And she like helped me so much and she did a lot of the work with me. And that also took off. And I think we raised, I think around $10,000 exactly. So it's been definitely like, it's been nice to see how many people are so eager to help, you know, and to contribute. And, you know, it's just been like heartwarming too, you know, and now I drive around all of these neighborhoods around me and I see my lawn signs everywhere. And it's just, it's nice, I think, for us as Ukrainians to see that, you know, and to, it just, I don't know, it really makes you feel better, you know, to see that there's so many people like are on your side.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was smiling because you said lawn signs. Like, who cares about lawn signs?
That's I didn't such, know anything that, about
but it. I'm just saying, the reason why I'm smiling, because I get it, right? Like, that is so New Yorker, Brooklyn off you. No. I did not understand the importance of lawn signs until I moved to the South.
Really?
Where you actually have a lawn to put your lawn
exactly, signs. Exactly, right? Yeah, I was like, I lived on a 7th floor apartment. You know, I was like, who needs lawn signs? Who cares about these things? Apparently, a lot of people care.
Oh gosh, that was just funny to me because I get it 100%. Get it 100%. All right, so is there like a link that people? I'll definitely put it in show notes, but you can say the link if there's a link where people can go to kind of support if they still want to.
It's basically bonfire.com/standwith and then like an underscore Ukraine, all okay. Lowercase.
I'll definitely put the link in the show notes too if anyone wants to kind of support. This has been awesome. I really appreciate you kind of giving your just honest feelings about like what's been happening in your home country. And where can people go to find out more about you and learn that you got going on?
It's mostly my Instagram. I keep that updated all the time. It's just Olga Musician with a Z. And I guess my website, but mostly my Instagram. That's where I always show up there.
Okay, sweet. So we definitely add that in the show notes. Olga, this has been awesome.
Yeah.
It's good to catch up with you.
You too.
And I get to soak up some of the New York essence that you got going on because I miss New York. I've been thinking to go down there, go up there actually. I've been missing, I don't know why, but for some reason I've just been missing New York. I was like, I even told my wife, I was like, I want to go to New York. And it's not even, I don't want to live there, but I just miss it. I just miss it.
I know how it feels. Yeah. And we're fortunate. We're pretty close, so we can go visit all the time, but we went a few times. And honestly, the last time I went, I was like, I don't want to go back to New York. I'm like, I'm done with this place.
Cause you're in Jersey now, right?
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the same thing. I'm gonna go visit. I'll be like, yeah, I think I've gotten enough. I'm ready to go back home now.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't want to be here.
Well, Olga, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you, and keep doing what you're doing. Keep killing it, and we are looking out for those mural tips.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to see you again.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts because it really helps out the podcast. Remember to check out my latest project, flydaddy.com. Until next time, be blessed.